Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Tide Chasers Podcast. Now, before we get into introducing our guests, I'd like to introduce you my co-host, as always, Mr. Dan Mancari. How you doing, bud?
Doing great, man. Looking forward to this episode because this is something I want to get into myself. So let's do it, baby.
All right.
How you doing?
Now, I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm just, you know, the season's just getting underway. You know what I mean? Besides that, I just want to get out and fish, but the weather ain't cooperating too much with us lately. So,
yeah, man.
All right. Now, once again, if this is your first time listening, please make sure you like, subscribe, share, leave us a feedback on your favorite podcast platforms. Now, also catch us on upcoming guests on our social media platforms, as in what, Facebook, Tide Chasers Podcast, or at Instagram at Tide_Chasers. Now, today, our guests will be discussing a little less known fishery. Not too many people know about it. Now, it is the New Jersey Black Drum. Now, we all know that everyone targets these species in the Delaware Bay when the season's right. But here's the catch. My special guest targets them in the backwaters before the bite in the Delaware Bay even picks up. So his secrets are for the early season black drum. Now, not too many people target them because not many people know that they're already here. He's been doing this for quite a while, and he's pretty much had them dialed in. So once again, I'd love to introduce to you guys my longtime fishing buddy, Johnny Boy. How you doing, man?
I'm pretty well. Thank you so much for having me on this episode. It's definitely a pleasure. We're just gonna have fun with this episode, and let's rock it. All right,
man. We got like a celebrity here. I've seen you making the rounds.
Yeah. Well, this is where the situation where you don't really see too much of that happening, the fishery happening. So once you see one good fish, it's going to definitely make rounds. So I guarantee you that.
Or 4, 5, 6, 7 good fish.
That's it. Yeah. even that.
All right, Johnny, we're going to jump right in, brother. How long have you been targeting black drum in New Jersey?
All right. So I would say the first year that I targeted these black drum, did my research, actually went out for them, was back in 2010. So I would say over a decade ago.
Wow.
Yeah. I would say the first few seasons weren't really successful. A lot of trial and errors, a lot of mistakes, a lot of not knowing what I'm doing at that time. And I would say the first New Jersey official black drum that I've ever caught was back in 2012. Now, back in the early 2010s, not a lot of social media. So the Facebook thing, the Instagram, all that stuff wasn't really a big thing. So you would have to really do your research on, what's going on in the season. That fish was about 18 pounds. I definitely caught it in the backwaters. Ever since then, kind of had the grasp of, how to target them, what I'm looking for, the tides and everything like that. And, you know, I've kind of like integrated to all of the things I've learned, I would say, what, the 8 years after that or 9 years after that up until now. So, yeah, just a little bit of history. First black drum, 2012, about 18 pounds.
You mentioned what you look for. So without giving away any of your spots, what types of conditions, tides, would you typically consider as optimal based on your experience and the way you're targeting these fish? Obviously, you're doing it much earlier than most people are. Yeah. So
this type of fishery, the black drum, the early season, I would say it runs anywhere between the last week of March all the way to the first week of May. That being said, a lot of these waters are still cold. The thing you want to look for is the backwaters, when it will become warmest, the type of the water depth, and you got to look at the tides as well. So in my theory, the best tide, I would say the optimal tide, is to fish all of incoming. What is more important with incoming water is that it brings a lot of the water from the ocean into the inlets, into the bays, into the rivers. The black drum, they really like that salt. So the prime time, I would say mid incoming tide all the way up to peak high tide. I've never gotten one on an outgoing tide. I would say like I've gotten one on high tide slack, but once that tide goes out, I've never gotten one. So that's usually my cue to wrap it up or target something else.
Gotcha. Now, you've had, obviously, we talk almost every day. You've had a pretty crazy year this year. How many fish have you landed so far this year? And what's been your largest of the year so far?
Yeah. So this year, I would say I've gone quite some time. The whole month of April, I was probably going about twice a week. You know, I would say half the times I was actually catching fish, half the times I wasn't catching fish. And I would say this year or this season alone, I've gotten 7 black drum from from the shores of New Jersey.
That's incredible.
Yeah. I've definitely had multiple black drums in one night. There was one trip I had 2, and there was one trip that I had 3 black drum in one outing. The biggest fish I've gotten this year was actually my personal best. Not really sure about the pounds, but I measured this fish out. It was about 41 inches. I fished in a very, very dreary, dark, cold night. I would say it was probably one of the coldest April nights that I've actually felt. You know, it was like mid-30s out. It felt like mid-30s. It's raining. It's windy. And that night I caught 2 of them. One was about 25 pounds. The other was 41 inches. And to me, if I had to guess the weight on that fish, I'd say anywhere around 35 pounds. This fish,
okay,
it was pretty big, especially for the early season.
Well, I got the text that night. He said he couldn't lift it out of the water.
Yeah.
He literally said he couldn't lift it out of the water. My camera my phone died, so I couldn't take a photo of it. So I'm just like, how do you go fishing without your phone not charged? He's like, yeah, he's like, I literally couldn't lift it out of the water. I was like, all right, well, if you couldn't lift it out of the water, then it's a big fish.
Yeah. So I was fighting the one fish. The first fish was 2 o'clock in the morning, measured 35 inches, I would say around 20, 25 pounds. Took a few pictures with it. I was alone, so it was really hard for me to take pictures of it. So it was definitely, it's on my Instagram. Just trying to take pictures by yourself is very hard. And my phone was still on. My phone was still, it had batteries when I hooked my second fish. Now, this fish was a lot bigger, just knowing by how much line it has taken. It took close to maybe 25 minutes to actually land that fish. Like you said, Quap, I could not lift it up with one hand. Like, I literally had to, like, drop my rod, use both my hands, put both my hands in its mouth to pull it out. And then I was trying to take a photo, and yeah, my phone died. So it's probably the worst feeling, because I know I caught a fish that big, my personal best, and then I just don't have proof of it. So you just got to like kind of believe me by
word of mouth. Yeah, it's one of those fish tales. Like it was that big. But here's my question. I always wondered this. So we know a lot of guys we've talked to that fish for black drum in the Delaware Bay. It's deeper water. They say when they hook to a black drum, it's usually a quick couple minute fight, maybe 2-3 minutes, and then it's like lugging in a big heavy tire. Now that's what I hear from the boat guys. Now, where you're fishing, I know where you're fishing, but I'm not giving it up. But but what's the water depth there average? Like say at full high tide, what's the deepest that you're casting into?
Yeah.
Give and take.
Yeah, not a problem. So I would say the deepest I'm casting in is probably around 7 to 8 feet at high tide. Depends on the moon. If the moon's bringing in a lot more water, I would say a little bit higher than that. If the moon's not bringing that much water, I would say a little lower. So I would say anywhere between 6, 7, 8 feet where I'm throwing these fish. The black drum, they're coming in early. They're coming in very shallow because they are spawning. They're coming up from the south. These fish, a lot more concentration down in the southern states. So they come up to the cold waters. They come into the bays, the rivers. Really shallow waters, just to spawn and drop their eggs. I don't know if you guys notice, but if you're fishing like in late summer, I would say August or September, sometimes you're using these bloodworm fish bites, you're using shrimp on small hooks. You catch these very small black drums, really juvie black drums. They're like puppies.
Puppy drums.
Very, very, very small, very juvenile fish. They're like 5-6 inches. Those are the fish that actually hatch from the spring that passed. So those are the fish that the big girls, they drop their eggs, they hatch. 3 months later, those are the fish. Like those fish are the future. Once those fish in the late summer, they kind of get to that size, they'll move down south and they'll start to grow. That's why when you're fishing the shores of like, North Carolinas or Virginia, these black drum aren't as big as the ones you see here. They're only probably like 15 inches, 16 inches. So those are the fish growing from up here.
Okay, here's my thing. So we know striped bass, they come into the shallow waters usually at night because during the day it's the sun is warming up the mud. So here's my theory. My theory is the reason they're coming into the shallows at night to feed and spawn and all that is I believe they kind of have the same mentality as a striped bass, because they want that warmer water. So they come into the shallows after it's been warmed up through the sun all day. Do you find that correct?
Yeah, definitely. So these fish kind of have the same ideal as a striped bass. They come in the shallows, like you said, and they spawn, they drop their eggs in the warmer waters, and they leave. These drum, they migrate. They know exactly where they want to drop their eggs. And once they do that, they leave the bays, they leave the rivers, they go back through the inlets, back into the ocean and go back down south.
Cool. All right. So, here's my initial question when I said about the fight in deeper water. Now, from shore, I mean, we've never hooked one on my boat yet, hopefully this year. But from shore, how is the fight? Describe the actual fight with a black drum. Let's just say average size, the 31 or the 41 inch, the one you caught, like what was the initial, like first run? What did it do? And how was like all of that?
Yeah. So any fish over 20 pounds, 25 pounds, these fish will definitely take a very strong first run. When I'm fishing for drum, it's a bait and wait game, So you're basically putting your rod in a rod holder, you're sticking it in there, waiting for a bite. Whenever I get a drum hit, I can tell if it's a drum, I can tell if it's striped bass, just the way it knocks down the rod, just the way it runs. So when a drum, its first thing it does when it bites, it actually like takes one bite. So you'll probably see your rod tip just bounce one time. And then you wait a little bit, about a minute, and then all of a sudden the black drum actually swallows the bait and it runs with it. But like it just runs with it nonstop. Depending on the size, it really depends how much it's going to take. So I would say like the big fish, the 25-pound fish, it probably took maybe a good 50 yards at least, maybe 75 yards of line out on its first initial run. Once it does that, it kind of a little slows up a little bit. It kind of gets tired. So you'll have a chance. It'll feel like pulling in tire, but you know it's the fish. It just shakes its head. When you say like the Delaware Bay bite, same thing. One large run and then it feels like a tire pulling up. That may be correct if you're on a boat, but when you're from shore, these fish, especially where I'm fishing, the water's colder. There's a lot more oxygen in the water. They can recover really quick. So they'll take another run after that. They'll take a third run. They'll take a fourth run. So it does take some time. Now, would I say it's just a flat tire or a dead tire coming in? No, it's not. Especially with these drum, early season drum. They're very strong. They're very capable of, you know, if you are locking your drag, they're capable of breaking you off.
Gotcha. So now 2 years, 3 years ago, we had those 2 years back to back of those pretty, incredible black drums, black drum runs in recent memory from what I can remember. I mean, we saw people catching them all up and down like beachfront, just fishing for bass, you know, with swim shads and all the way up to New York. And that seemed to go on all the way into like mid June and further. What is the latest in the season that you've caught them in those backwaters that you're targeting them?
Yeah. So in the early season, when we're in the backwaters, I would say the latest I've ever caught a black drum would be the first week of May. During April, once the water gets warmer, these black drum, they tend to go a little bit deeper. The water's getting a lot warmer. You're getting a lot of interference fish as well. You got your crab starting to come out. You got your little puffer fish or a little kingfish or stuff. They tend to be a little bit of a nuisance. So it gets harder and harder as the season goes on. So I would say the latest around the first week of May, this was back, I believe, in 2015. The latest was like May 1st or May 2nd that I've gotten one. But After that, it's usually they go to deeper waters, they migrate, they go back out to the ocean, or they hit up probably one of the biggest places, the Delaware Bay.
Now, at that point, do you call it a season, or do you chase them anywhere else? Do you try and catch them in other locations? Have you ever tried for them elsewhere?
Yeah, so once I'm done with the back waters, I tend to give it a little bit of time. Once they're spawning, you're not really going to catch anything. They're just going to do their thing. But I will tend to actually target them on the beachfront. So the beachfront bite is a little bit different. I would say in the backwaters, a lot of it had to deal with the tide, the time of day, the night, like nighttime, early morning, dust bite. So off the beach is a little bit different. When I target them in off the beach, it's usually a day bite. It's usually a, you know, midday, sun out, maybe a little bit of overcast. That's when I tend to catch them on the beachfront. They don't run as big as the ones in the back. I would say those beach fish are anywhere between 10 pounds to 20 pounds. You get literally lucky, you get like a 25 pound fish, but I would fish the beaches all the way up, I would say, until around Father's Day weekend, which would be the third week of June. And after that, it's pretty much done. I mean, they're going to be here all summer, but it's going to be very rare. You'll see one here and one there. That's why sometimes you'll see people, they actually catch like big drum while flounder or fluke fishing. They'll catch it on a gulp, intended for a fluke, or you'll see people catch a big drum when they're going for kingfish. You're using bloodworms on a high-low rig, small hook, and they catch a 15-pound drum. But that's very rare. So I would say anywhere mid-June would be the cutoff time where I was just stop targeting them.
Gotcha. Yeah, I've targeted them. I've never targeted them here. I was supposed to be with you the night you got that one fish. So I feel responsible for you not having your pictures. You can blame that one on this guy here. Sorry about that.
Not a problem.
I got the same text Quad got, and I'm like, oh God. My fault. But I've caught them from my kayak down in North Carolina and on a boat in Virginia. And I've never caught one bigger than like 26 inches. So those fish are feisty. I mean, I thought I had a sheep's head on crack on one. You know, those. I was sitting under like a gazebo dock, and I got wrapped around two poles at the same time. I don't even know how it even happened. I'm like chasing it around one piling, and then I'm like, okay, I got it out of there. And then they're nuts at that size when you're fishing light tackle. But I don't have the experience with these fish like this, like fishing from the beachfront and fishing from the bay waters and such. Now, I obviously, when I've caught them, I'm using my sheep's head setup. But what is your typical rod reel tackle setup? Like, what are you throwing at them? What kind of rod are you using? Are you using a bait runner reel? That sort of thing. Kind of talk about that for us a little bit.
Right. Yeah, definitely. So I run a little bit of heavier setup. These fish, they're big. A lot of it has to do with casting distance. So I would definitely use a surf rod. My ideal surf rod would be a 10-foot rod for black drum. For me, I use a 10-foot Mojo surf, rated 1 to 4. But I mean, that's just the rating. I've thrown 5 ounce, thrown 6 ounce, I've thrown 8 ounce with it. But you know, I've used that rod. That's definitely like my go-to, you know, bait and weight type of rod setup. Now the reel I use is a little bit beefy. You don't really have to, you know, take my recommendation, but I use a Pen Torque 5 spinning. It's a little bit on a heavier side, pricey reel as well. But the reason why I have a beefier rod and reel, especially the reel, is that you want that cranking power. When you're casting out really far, you're bombing casts. If you're having like these crabs or little fish or like nuisance fish, they tend to pick off your bait. You want to kind of have like a strong reel so you can reel in real fast. You don't want to miss the prime time. Like you really want to be able to reel in that 4 ounce, 5 ounce, 6 ounce without the bait as fast as possible. But you don't have to go with what I have. I would recommend like a cheap rod. I would go with like a Tsunami Airwave Elite 10 footer, 11 foot if you want to. For the reel, I would say it's Pen Spinfisher 5 or 6, 5,500, 6,500. And if you want the bait runner option, that is available, but I don't use a bait runner. I've never used a bait runner. So all I did was just put in a sand spike and just loosen my drag a little bit because, you know, these fish are definitely, if you have that thing really tight, you're going to lose that spike and that rod. I guarantee you, if it's a big fish, you're going to lose that rod.
Yeah. Fun. I've lost a couple rods, so I'm learning some things here. Okay. Yeah. Now, you kind of said that you can tell the bite between a striped bass if they're out there or the black drum. Right. Is there another fish that you would compare the fight of a black drum to?
It is very close to a striped bass. Okay. Striper or a bass. I would say if I had to put like a 20-pound black drum, compared to fight of a 20-pound black drum, it will probably be very similar to about what a 40 inch striped bass, 38, 40 inch, 42 inch. It's very, very similar. The only difference between the black drum and the striped bass is that the striped bass has a little bit more, you know, stamina, is more willing to take more runs than the black drum. Black drum takes a few runs. It's pretty much like, you know, coming in towards you, but depending on the size, it definitely like, it can take a while to pull in because of its weight. If you look at a black drum, very broad, wide body. When it slaps the tail, it pushes a lot of water. So it's very strong compared to a striped bass. But if I had to compare those would be the two class size. 20-pound black drum would be really similar to a 40-inch striped bass.
Okay, good to know. Now, we're all of us here, we're into responsible harvest and all that good stuff. But everybody eats fish, right? So black drum happens to be my middle daughter Kendall's favorite fish to eat. So I've kept a few in the past, and actually my family really enjoyed them. Obviously, there's a lot of different things out there about the table fare of the fish once they get to a certain point. So we want to release those big fish anyway. But in the past, when you've kept a black drum or like a smaller one for the table, whether it be because it was poorly hooked or whatever it may be, or you want to bring one home. What types of ways do you prepare that so we can kind of give some ideas to people how they can prepare their fish?
Yeah, certainly. So out of my whole life, my whole time fishing for black drum, I've kept quite a fair number of them. I really do like the taste of the black drum. Now, you talked about the size where, it's kind of on the verge of not really worth taking it because it's just too big. Now, I would say I am guilty of taking one pretty big one, about 23 pounds, to eat, just because, a lot of meat. Don't get me wrong, but I probably won't take a fish that big home again after eating a fish that size. It's very tough. The preparation for that fish is just taxing, very long, and it's just overall not as good as the smaller eating size. So I stopped keeping fish that big and releasing them now. But you see a lot of people taking drum of all size. So can't really do anything about that. But for me, the best eating size is anywhere between 12 pounds, 14 pounds, 15 pounds. Those are the true puppy drum. Those are actually puppy drum in its class. So I've definitely kept a few fish in that range, and I can tell you it is very good. The best thing I can tell you that I've done with it, I've definitely put it, I tried to blacken them, but I really don't have like the things to do that. So I try my best to kind of try to kind of make it my way. Trying to make it like Cajun style, put it on a skillet, press it down on a pan sear both sides, and just serve it on a bed of sides, whether it be like fries or mac and cheese or mashed potatoes. But the best thing I've gotten out of these black drum was blackened, Cajun, pan seared. You can fry them, but I would say just blackened Cajun style is probably the best thing that I've eaten. The meat's very sweet. These fish, they don't eat, all they eat is like crabs, clams. So they're not really taking in all that, they're not eating all the meat, the fish or anything. They're not building up too much. So the meat's very, very white, very, very sweet, and it's very firm as well. So if you ever had a black drum, I would say, try a fish, like a smaller size fish, small class size, take it home. Try it out. It's pretty good. But I mean, if you're not going to eat fish, I would say, just release them. You're not going to eat them. Just let them grow. Let them live out its life. But that's for me to say. It's my opinion. I can't really speak for everyone, but that's what I do. But I've released more drum than I've actually kept. Because I had a craving for fish and, yes, I am guilty of harvesting them, but it's, it's my thing.
I wouldn't say that's guilty. I mean, we all harvest fish responsibly. We're all conservation minded, but guess what? Personally, I'm not going to ever buy another piece of fish because I like to put, what I like to know where my fish came from that I'm putting in front of my family. So I don't think there's anything wrong with, responsible harvest. The way I see it is these fish are nice white flaky fish, obviously. The meat is firm. It doesn't fall apart. It's not fragile. I've prepared it for my family. I've done fried, which any fish is good fried. We know that, but, it pan sears well. We've done it on the grill. It knocks it out of the park on the grill. I don't think there's really a way that you can cook it that doesn't highlight the taste of the fish. My family really enjoys it. So I agree. It's a great fish to keep. I don't think the fishery's in any kind of trouble. So there's no kind of issues with responsible harvest there. I think they're well managed elsewhere. So when they get to us, they're pretty well managed here as well. So,
I mean, also a little bit earlier before we get into the next subject, you did talk about what they eat. We did miss it during the tackle setup. Let's talk about bait real quick. All right. We did miss the bait. So That's a very important thing, especially to Johnny, and he'll tell you why. He'll tell you why bait's very important. Yeah. Go ahead, Johnny. Let him describe our bait setup.
Yeah, so I kind of got caught up there, so I apologize for leaving that out. So, the bait. I'm very keen on the type of bait that I'm looking for, the selection of bait I'm looking for. I won't go if I don't find that right bait. And Qua, very well how much I like bait, especially mm-hmm. for going for black drum. So main bait I use is clams. Now, the problem with clams is that fresh clams in the shell, they're very hard to come by for the past few years.
And we're not talking about chowder clams now. We're not talking about
chowder clams.
Not the clams you can just go out in the supermarket and buy.
Not the ones you eat. I'm talking about the live surf clams made, and they are used only and solely for fishing. So these surf clams are very hard. They get dredged, you know, the boats, they go out, they dredge the bottom, they catch clams, they harvest them, and they sell to your bait shop. The problem is that there's not enough supply for them every spring. A lot of demand, not a lot of supply. So it's very hard to find fresh live surf clams in the shell. I would say the closest I would go is like if a store actually like has live surf clams and they're kind of a little bit old, so they tend to shuck it out. That's fine as well. But the one thing I will never use, and I emphasize this a lot, I will never use salted clams for them. The reason why I don't use salted clams, I don't care if it's been salted for a minute. I don't care if it's salted for 2 days. If you put that thing on salt, it draws all the water out. It draws all the juices. It kind of shrinks them up. I mean, don't get me wrong. It firms them up. Better casting. It stays on a hook. But the problem is it takes out all the good juices. Like all the good juice from the clam is in the salt. So I never use salt clams. Only fresh live surf clams or if it's fresh shucked. Here's a big secret of mine when I'm fishing for drum, and you're probably only going to get it from me. When I look for fresh surf clams, I tend to not take the live ones, the ones that are shut. The reason why, they don't have the odor that I like. Yeah, it sounds crazy. So when I ever go into the store after live surf clams, I always ask, do you have some that just died? The reason why is that once they start to open up, they have this odor that I really like. And I will tell you, I swear by that odor. I can't describe that odor, but once they open, I tend to smell them before I look at them. And if they smell good to me, I grab them. And they're probably dead for like 1 or 2 days, but I swear by them. I tell you, I've caught a lot of drum on the ones that stink.
That's the inside secret, guys. Just make sure you find surf clams that have body odor.
Yeah. I'm not even joking. I wish I can joke with you guys, but that is literally the number one thing I'm looking for when I buy bait is that odor. The clams that just died, just opened up, but they're still kind of orange, still tough, still have that that texture where you put on the hook and it'll still stay on.
Very
now
nice.
Also the frequency of how often do you change baits?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to give away all your secrets, but I just want to help a few anglers that are interested in targeting.
No, that's not a problem. So the frequency, I would, barring any type of interference fish, any of those little puffer fish or little perch or little kingfish or stuff like that, or crabs, I would definitely change my bait every 15 to 20 minutes. The reason why is that the salt really kind of breaks down the clam, especially even if it's fresh in the water. So 15, 20 minutes, I'll reel in. If I still have clams on there, I would tend to just change the bait, throw another piece on. Really depends on the size of the clam. I don't tend to use the full whole live clam. I tend to cut them in half and use half a clam, and then I'll cast out 15, 20 minutes later. I'll pull it in. If there's still bait on there, I'll tend to, you know, put another half on it just to freshen it up. still use this old one just to make sure it's like it got at least some freshness into the water.
Now, you tie in your own rigs?
Yes. So the rig I use, I know a lot of people are keen on fish finder rigs. I used to use fish finder rigs for them, but I've noticed a few flaws with the fish finder. One is casting distance. Two is whenever you're pulling in your bait, it tends to twirl a lot of tangles. It tangles up to the main line. So I stopped using those fish finders. So now I tend to use a dropper loop rig. So what this is I tend to make a dropper on 50-pound mono or fluoro. That's all I ever use when I use a dropper loop rig. I'll tie a dropper loop, put on an 8-aught octopus circle, gamagatsu or owner, and about, I would say anywhere between 18 to 24 inches below that dropper loop, I'll add the weight. So you'll have the weight, you'll have about 2 feet of line, and then your dropper loop, and then it's hooked to the main line. The reason why I keep it a little bit high is because I want that bait a little bit suspended above the bottom. It's more of my thing. Like, I tend to see a lot of the fish a little bit suspended off the bottom. They're not really tight to the bottom. So if you keep it dangling just off the bottom, they'll tend to be more, I wouldn't say enticed by it, but they'll have a good chance, you know, looking at it. If the drum likes what it sees, it's going to eat it. The one thing I forgot to mention, that whenever I use a clam, I use clam tie, just so that I keep the guts. Like, that gut of the clam is the number one thing that I do not want flying off my hook. If that thing flies off, you're better off fishing with nothing. I really want that gut. The guts, the nastiness. They like that nastiness. That's the smell that's protruding into the water, the scent. It makes the scent trail. So when I keep it suspended, all that scent trail is everywhere. It gets distributed everywhere, and not only on the bottom.
Well, and so you're tying that off to a barrel swivel that's going to be tied to your main line. What pound test is your main line? Is it braid, mono?
Yeah, so I definitely tie it to a barrel swivel, just, you know, extra protection on any line twist. And that goes into my main line. It's braid. I use 30-pound braid just for castability, trying to get that max distance. You could use 40, you could use 50, but I don't really see the need for anything over 30, especially from shore. You can kind of play around with the fish. You don't really have to hoist these fish in. You don't really have to kind of, I would say, fight these fish. You know, you want to play with them. You want to kind of let it do its thing before you fight them in, reel them in, and land them. So 30-pound main, I use spider wire stealth braid or invisibraid. Spider wire is definitely my go-to braid. I know everyone has different types of braids to use, so your preference. But that's definitely all of the things that, like, I have used, and it has been successful for me.
You've put together like a pretty impressive season with bycatch too, right? You've had a nice number of solid bass that you've caught with that same setup, right?
Correct. So it's kind of very odd when you say your bycatch is striped bass. People are looking at you. It's like, why is it a bycatch to you? I was like, well, when I'm fishing the areas, there is a good number of striped bass around. There was one night I actually caught like 20 striped bass, 20 bass before I actually caught a drum. And they're all like nice size. They're like 23, 24 inch. They're not keepers though, but they were enough to bend the rod, 23, 24, all the way up to 27 and a half. I did catch one fish. The biggest fish that I've gotten in striped bass wise this year fishing for them was 31 inches. And that kind of shocked me. Don't really see that type of fish that large in an area like that. Usually it's a lot of schoolies. The bigger fish are tending more into the deeper waters.
Gotcha. Now, I've heard some stories from some of my buddies that fish like the lower Delaware beaches, like Broadkill and stuff like that. like they'll be sitting out there all night and then they'll hear, you know, a school of fish coming through and they hear the drumming and they know it's game time. Have you ever witnessed, you know, the drumming sound from the school of fish come by as you're out there fishing?
So for me personally, I have not, I don't really hear them, especially even on a very quiet night where I can actually hear myself think, I don't hear them. My guess is that they don't really drum, when they're spawning. I don't know. I don't know the reason, but I know what you're talking about. They do tend to drum, once you hear them in the area, but for me, I've never heard them make that noise. And it's really odd because like, you think about it, you hear about the stories of, you know, oh, if do you hear them drumming because you're going for black drum, but I've never heard them at all. Actually, I've never heard them at all in the backwaters. Never hear them from the beach as well. Maybe because it's just too loud. The surf is just beating up the sand. But I've never heard them, and it's just a matter of luck and being there at the right time, where like one fish comes by and you get a bite, and you know, the fish takes you from there.
From my understanding, that drumming tends to happen when they're in schools of fish. So maybe you're just plucking one that's passing by here and there, as opposed to like you're picking out of school. So,
right.
All right. Kwai, you got anything else?
No, I'm pretty content with everything he says. I mean, I already knew all this because he's been sharing secrets to me for the past 6-7 years. So, you know, but the funny part is I've never gone with him because he fishes the odd, weirdest times of the night, and I just can't stay awake. It's and he's too hard at it. He goes hard. He'll fish like 48 hours straight to find a single fish. You know what I mean? It's just, I'm at an age that I won't even make it that far.
No, I'm getting text messages. He's like, the perch bite's off. I'm going to go fish for drum. I didn't catch any drum. I'm going to go back to perch for a little bit and then go back to drum. I'm like, I can't wrap my head around.
So I will tell you, this spring I've lost quite a number of fish that I know for a fact were black drum. I don't know the size, but the only reason why, like, I've been kind of hitting it really hard because I've been, you know, kind of chewed out of losing these fish. I know one night I lost a pretty good fish, and I actually went the next night and I caught one. And it's really hard because like it's not a lot of these fish. You don't hear a lot of people catching these fish, especially this early in the season. So when you hook a fish like that and you lose it, you're wondering to yourself, like, man, that was just my chance. That was my chance for tonight. And it leaves a sour taste. So that's why I keep hitting it really hard. I tend to time the tide right, the most optimal time. You know, whether it be in the middle of the night or in the evening or early mornings. So it's just a motivation. It's just a motivation factor. You know, I really want to kind of learn from the mistakes that I've done, whether it was my mistake or the fish mistake or something like that. So it just keeps getting me, you know, more motivated to keep trying, keep trying, and keep trying.
All right. Here's a quick tip, guys. All right. Just make sure if you didn't catch any of his tips and secrets this episode, rewind and listen to one more time, because he's proven facts that his technique and his style works. I remember texting him on one night while I was fishing, literally 15 guys next to him. All right. We're talking about 15 guys on this, in this area. No one caught a single fish, but him single-handedly caught 3 fish that night right next to these guys. And these guys were pretty close. I'm telling you, whatever he does or whatever he's been doing for this many seasons, it works. Because if you're standing next to 15 guys going for the same species and no one hooks up, but you landed 3, you're doing something right. Now we're not going to name names, but there's a certain one of our fishing buddies out there that Johnny gave him a little intel on what to use, you know, bait-wise, rigs, and stuff like that. He went out the same night along with 2 other buddies. His 2 buddies skunked out. He banged 2 fish that night. But here's the kicker. He didn't tell his other 2 buddies what rigs to use. He let them use what they wanted to use. He used what Johnny told him to use. And he picked up 2 fish that night.
I can guarantee you those 15 guys fishing next to Johnny were a lot saltier than the water sitting in front of them. That's for sure. I know I would have been. I would be like, damn, what is this guy doing? Johnny, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on, brother. You guys can find Johnny at Johnny, J-O-H-N-N-Y underscore fish cakes on Instagram. Jonathan Bowie on Facebook. He's a great follow on Instagram. He's always posting excellent content. Give him a follow. Check him out. Follow him around. Don't follow him around, actually, because you won't be able to keep up with this guy. He walks in secret circles. So,
I mean, there's also a reminder. He used to do YouTube. He's one of the very first few guys that before this whole YouTube thing blew up. He's one of he's one of the first few iconic OGs of YouTube. So he has a channel still up there. He hasn't added new content lately. It's just been going crazy with YouTube. So he's taking a very long hiatus. He may get back into it. We never know. But check out some of his older videos. They're real fun to watch on there too.
Johnny, thanks for jumping on with us, brother.
No, thank you for having me. I do appreciate the time. I definitely enjoyed this. And I really hope this helps anyone viewing in, listening in and tuning in. This any type of fishing is, it's fun, having the passion to fish, having the ideology to fish is, it really excites me, and the fact that I can share it with you and Qua, share the waters with you guys, have a good time, that's all it counts, that really all it matters.
Yeah, man, we love you, buddy. Thank you for coming on.
No, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, if anything, Dan, close us out.
Well, thank you for joining us, everybody. If you liked what you heard, please like, subscribe, follow us, share our content, give us those 5-star reviews. You can find us at Tide underscore Chasers on Instagram, Tide Chasers Podcast on Facebook. I am DManCarry18 on Instagram. Qua is That Asian Angler on Instagram. Just follow us along. We're going to be coming up with a lot of excellent content coming forward. We got some giveaways coming up soon. There's going to be a lot of exciting new things coming. Just follow along, and we promise you're going to like what you see. And here.
Well, besides that, once again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us this evening, and we'll see you guys on the next podcast.
Tight lines.
Anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern, presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV. A life that has the stories to back it. A life to be proud of. It's a Winchester life.
Yeah, baby. 6'8 Western. Oh, mule deer, baby, right there.
Tune in every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.